The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. Part 40. Book 4, the 17th chapter. The Burning Love and Strong Desire to Receive Christ. The Disciple. With greatest devotion and ardent love, with all affection and fervor of heart, I wish to receive you, O Lord, as many saints and devout persons, most pleasing to you in their holiness of life and most fervent in devotion, desired you in holy communion. O my God, everlasting love, my final good, my happiness unending, I long to receive you with as strong a desire and as worthy a reverence as any of the saints ever had or could have felt. And though I am not worthy to have all these sentiments of devotions, yet still I offer you the full affection of my heart, as if I alone had all those most pleasing and ardent desires. Yet whatever a God-fearing mind can conceive and desire, I offer in its entirety to you with the greatest reverence and inward affection. I wish to keep nothing for self, but to offer to you, willingly and most freely, myself and all that is mine. O Lord God, my Creator and my Redeemer, I long to receive you this day with such reverence, praise, and honor, with such gratitude, worthiness, and love, with such faith, hope, and purity as that with which your most holy Mother, the glorious Virgin Mary, longed for and received you when she humbly and devoutly answered the angel who announced to her the mystery of the Incarnation. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. Likewise, as your blessed precursor, the most excellent of saints, John the Baptist, gladdened by your presence, exalted in the Holy Spirit while yet enclosed in the womb of his mother, and afterwards, seeing Jesus walking among men, humbled himself, and with devout love declared, "The friend of the bridegroom, who standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth with joy because of the bridegroom's voice." Even so, I long to be inflamed with great and holy desires, and to give myself to you with all my heart. Therefore, I offer and present to you the gladness of all devout hearts, their ardent affection, their mental raptures, their supernatural illuminations and heavenly visions, together with all the virtues and praises which have been or shall be celebrated by all creatures in heaven and on earth, for myself and all commended to my prayers, that you may be worthily praised and glorified forever. Accept, O Lord my God, my promises and desires of giving you infinite praise and boundless benediction, which in the vastness of your ineffable greatness are justly due you. This I render and desire to render every day and every moment of time. And in my loving prayers, I invite and entreat all celestial spirits and all the faithful to join me in giving you praise and thanks. Let all people, races, and tongues praise you, and with the greatest joy and most ardent devotion, magnify your sweet and holy name. And let all who reverently and devoutly celebrate this most great sacrament, and receive it in the fullness of faith, find kindness and mercy in you, and humbly pray for me, a sinner. And when they have received the longed-for devotion and blissful union, and well consoled and wonderfully refreshed, have retired from your holy, your celestial table, may they deign to remember my poor soul. The 18th chapter. Man should not scrutinize this sacrament in curiosity, but humbly imitate Christ and submit reason to holy faith. The Voice of Christ. Beware of curious and vain examination of this most profound sacrament. if you do not wish to be plunged into the depths of doubt. He who scrutinizes its majesty too closely will be overwhelmed by its glory. God can do more than man can understand. A pious and humble search for truth he will allow, a search that is ever ready to learn and that seeks to walk in the reasonable doctrine of the fathers. Blessed is the simplicity that leaves the difficult way of dispute and goes forward on the level, firm path of God's commandments. Many have lost devotion because they wished to search into things beyond them. Faith is required of you, and a sincere life, not a lofty intellect, nor a delving into the mysteries of God. If you neither know nor understand things beneath you, how can you comprehend what is above you? Submit yourself to God, and humble reason to faith, and the light of understanding will be given you, so far as it is good and necessary for you. Some are gravely tempted concerning faith and the sacrament, but this disturbance is not laid to them, but to the enemy. Be not disturbed. Dispute not in your mind. Answer not the doubts sent by the devil, but believe the words of God, believe his saints and prophets, and the evil enemy will flee from you. It is often very profitable for the servant of God to suffer such things, for Satan does not tempt unbelievers and sinners whom he already holds securely. But in many ways he does tempt and trouble the faithful servant. Go forward then, with sincere and unflinching faith, and with humble reverence approach this sacrament. Whatever you cannot understand, commit to the security of the all-powerful God, who does not deceive you. The man, however, who trusts in himself is deceived. God walks with sincere men, reveals himself to humble men, enlightens the understanding of pure minds, and hides his grace from the curious and the proud. Human reason is weak and can be deceived. True faith, however, cannot be deceived. All reason and natural knowledge ought to come after faith, not go before it, nor oppose it. For in this most holy and supremely excellent sacrament, faith and love take precedence and work in a hidden manner. God, eternal, incomprehensible, and infinitely powerful, does great and inscrutable things in heaven and on earth, and there is no searching into his marvelous works. If all the works of God were such that human reason could easily grasp them, they would not be called wonderful or beyond the power of words to tell. End of the Imitation of Christ.